What an honor it is to be at Citizen Church. This is a dream come true for me. I woke up this morning. I didn't even need caffeine. I am feeling excited to be in the house of God. And a big part of that is I truly love your pastors. Aren't you thankful for your pastors? Yeah, can we honor Pastor Dustin, Pastor Mandy? I've never told you this story, Pastor Dustin. I've told your brother, Pastor Brandon, is a good friend of mine. And I told him in 2016, when I got into ministry, I was leading this college ministry. Things were going well, but we felt like we were drinking from a fire hydrant. And we had a pastor come in town to speak for us. And I said, hey, who should we be learning from? And his eyes lit up. I think he had recently been to Citizen Church at the time. You guys were leading basically a conference every week for youth and young adults. It was unbelievable. And he said, you need to be following what's happening at this church in New Mexico called, at the time, Copper Point. And never heard of the church, never heard of the Woodward family, started following along. And I feel like I've been learning from Yoda for the last 10 years of what it looks like to lead and to build culture and to reach a city. And Maddie and I look at you and Pastor Mandy as a big brother and a big sister, whether you realize it or not. I was thinking of this morning, Proverbs 22:1, a good name is worth more than riches and gold. And the Woodward family is a good name that people around the country and the world trust. And so thank you so much. Pastor Galen, you're my hero. Want to be like you when I grow up. Said that yesterday. I mean it. I texted your other son, Pastor Brandon, yesterday. And one of your other sons, Pastor Brandon, yesterday. And I just said, your dad is the coolest. And he texts back in all caps, I know. Thank you for your faith. You're a giant in the faith to me. Can we honor Pastor Galen as well? If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn it on. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. As you turn there, really quickly, I'd love to introduce you to my family. My name's Noah. I've been following Jesus since I was 21 years old. Gave my life to Jesus at 21 in my college dorm room. And I love YouTube ministry. So shout out to everybody watching on YouTube right now. I'm believing today is your day if you don't know Jesus. So the second coolest thing about me, besides the fact that I know Jesus, is I know Maddie Heron. This is my beautiful wife. Her name is Maddie. She and I are about to celebrate 7 years of marriage. Yeah, we are pumped about it. And she is the most like Jesus person that I know. She is also from Alabama. And so she roots for the Crimson Tide. And we're going to have an altar call for her in just a few moments. We have three kids because we like each other a lot. Here's my son, Lion James Heron. We named him Lion because Proverbs 28:1 says that the wicked flee at the first sign of trouble, but the righteous are bold like a lion. And that little guy has invited more people to our church than maybe anybody. He loves Jesus, and I love him. We have two daughters. This is our first daughter, Mila, and she can have whatever she wants. Here's our second daughter, Navy. She's 6 months old. And any girl dads in the room? There's something about being a girl dad. Like, I love my son. He's my best buddy. We play games together. We wrestle every single night. But when I became a girl dad, something changed. I don't know how to describe it. I remember with our first daughter, Mila, we were in the hospital, and I was holding her for the first time in my left hand. And in my right hand, I was on Facebook Marketplace looking up Rottweiler breeders. You know, then we got out of the hospital and we went to Chili's. You guys have Chili's in Albuquerque? I feel God in Chili's sometimes. I'll just be honest with you. And I'm in Chili's and we're sitting there and I'm holding this baby girl again. And there's like this 5-year-old little dude at the table next to us who kept looking at my girl. After the fourth or fifth time that he looked over, I went. My wife was like, you need to chill, dude. You're going to go to jail. Anyways, that's our family. And we live in Nashville, as Pastor Dustin said. We pastor Way Church. We've seen over 1,200 people come to know Jesus in our first 2.5 years. Praise God. And if you're ever in Nashville, we'd love for you to visit Citizen East location. Come on, somebody. Okay, I want to read to you my favorite scripture in the Bible. And before I do, just a couple things. I love preaching in rooms like this where you can tell that people truly understand because of the leadership and the teaching that you guys get on a regular basis that the Bible is alive and active. I learned when I was 22 years old that the pressure is not actually on the preacher to preach a good sermon, that the pressure is on the people to hear a good word and do the good word. And that's where the transformation lives. And so when I am listening to sermons, I get the most out of the sermons, not that are necessarily the best. I get the most out of the sermons that I'm most leaned into. And so today you can lean in, you can say amen, you can take notes, you can say hallelujah, you can say preach a white boy, whatever you want to say, you can do that. And if you hear something that you don't like, you can email me at brandon@unioncitychurch.com. Would love to hear from you. This is my favorite scripture in the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Are you ready? Say ready. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 says this, but Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. It's my favorite scripture. My name's Noah. That is really in there. Verse 18 is where we're going to read. We're going to read verse 18. Verse 18. I just needed that. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Verse 22, this is my favorite part of Noah's story. Noah did everything just as God commanded him to do. I cannot think of a better sentence to be said about a person than that sentence right there. Like to me, the ultimate goal for a follower of Jesus is that when people show up to our funeral, that the people who knew us best will get on stage and say, that was a person, that was a man, that was a woman, that was my dad, that was my mom, that was my grandpa, that was my grandma, and they did everything that God asked them to do. The measurement of success to our God is simple. It's faithfulness. It's faithfulness. And faithfulness starts now. Title of this message, if you're taking notes, is Build the Boat. Will you say that with me? Ready? One, two, three. Build the boat. Build the boat. God, we love you. Thank you so much for the gift of community, the gift of gathering together in a body of believers like this one. I pray that you would speak to us through your word. We're so grateful. God, when we leave here, I pray that we would not say that we had an encounter with a great worship team or a speaker, but we had an encounter with a great God. We love you. We thank you so much for Chick-fil-A. And everyone said, amen. Amen. When my wife and I started dating, I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to marry her. It was just a matter of, can I convince her to marry me? And so we'd only been dating for a couple of months, and I knew that I wanted to tell her that I loved her. Do you remember the first time you told your spouse that you loved them, how nervous you were, how anxious you were? I was very nervous. There was actually multiple times that I tried to say I love you, and I chickened out. One time, we were at her parents' house, and she was sitting on the couch. We were watching a movie. I went to go get the popcorn. I came back in, and I said, Maddie, I got to tell you something. And she said, okay. And I said, your parents are out of toilet paper in the bathroom. And that happened several times in different ways. Long story short, Maddie, myself, and about 9 or 10 other friends, we decided to go to Hawaii that summer to the island of Kauai. Am I saying that right? It's amazing. And I just thought, man, what better place to tell the woman of your dreams that you love her for the first time than in Hawaii? So we get out there, and I'm picturing me surfing up on a surfboard, you know, coconuts in my hands, Justin Bieber acoustic music playing in the background. This is kind of what I had in mind. We get out there, we're staying in this Airbnb, and I'm sleeping on a pullout couch next to my friend Andrew. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear the sliding glass door of our Airbnb open. And I think we're being robbed. So I jump out of bed, I run to the back of the Airbnb. The door is wide open, and there is Maddie walking towards the ocean at 5 a.m. I'm thinking, man, this girl sleepwalks. What is happening? This looks like the opening scene of a scary movie. I take off running. I'm like, Maddie, wake up, wake up. She starts laughing. She says, no, I'm awake. My stomach just hurts. I think I had some bad sushi last night, and I just need some fresh air. And it was like I heard the audible voice of the Lord say, this is your time. And so we start walking down the beach, and it was magical. Like, sun starts to rise. The colors in the sky were like paintbrushes, and the birds are starting to chirp. And we get to the end of this little stretch of beach, and I just grabbed her by both hands. I made her stop and look at me, and I stared into her beautiful blue eyes, and I said, Maddie, I love you. And I was just like, yes. And she squeezed my hand, and she looked into my kind of average brown eyes. And she said, Noah, I think I'm going to throw up. And she ran to the bushes. Welcome to my life. 2 months later, I would get down on one knee, propose. She would say yes. A photographer would take a photo of the proposal. And 2 weeks after we posted the photo of the proposal, the company that I bought our wedding ring from reached out and said, we would like to offer you money to use the photo of your proposal on every billboard in the country to advertise our wedding rings. For the next 3 years, that proposal photo was on billboards, and people would recognize us from these ads and these photos, and they would say stuff to us about, wow, you're that couple. We bought our ring from the same place, whatever. Now, the reason I'm bringing the photo up is because if you just saw that photo, you wouldn't know about the time she threw up in the bushes. You wouldn't know about all the times where I spilled sweet tea on her during dates. You wouldn't know about the time when I chickened out in the living room trying to tell her that I loved her. You wouldn't know. And yet this is how so many of us live our lives, is looking at the photo and not really paying attention to all the stuff in the background. And I think the most ultimate version of this story in the Bible is the story of Noah. The story of Noah is this perfect little picture, perfect story that we read to our kids at night. We know how it's going to go. We never give it any attention. But if you look beneath the story of Noah, it's a really hard story. Most Bible scholars believe that Noah built the ark somewhere around 120 years. Can you imagine doing anything for 120 years? I'm going to tell you right now, not me. I've had the same New Year's resolution for 7 years in a row. Every single January, I'm like, I'm going to get ripped. And for like the first 10 days, I'm doing it. I'm getting up early. I'm eating grass. I'm lifting weights. Day 11, Chick-fil-A. Why? Because starting things is easy. But as followers of Jesus, finishing things is biblical. We're absolutely called to start. You're called to start the business. You're called to start the family. You're called to start the church. You're called to start the ministry. You're called to start that thing that God's put in your heart that only you could do. It's the solution that only you could bring to the city. You're called to do that thing. But you're also called to finish. Called to finish. I came across this article a couple years ago in the New York Times. It was written about millennials and Gen Z. I'm kind of like right in the middle of those two generations. It caught my attention. The premise of the article, they did all this research on millennials and Gen Z going into the workforce. And they found that the average Gen Z and millennial adult will hold 13 different full-time jobs by the age of 30. 13 different jobs. They're saying this is higher than any other generation. And the point of the article was not to say that that was good or that was bad. The point of the article was to say that human beings in this modern day have become all about looking for the next best opportunity. If we find something that pays better, we'll take it. If we find something that leads to us having a better reputation with our peers, we'll take it. If we find something that's going to lead to more followers, we'll take it. And on the one hand, I totally get it. And on the other hand, as Christians, little red flags should go off in our mind, because our God does not give opportunities, he gives assignments. And there is a big difference between an opportunity and an assignment. An opportunity might bring your name fame, but an assignment will bring God's name fame. An opportunity might put more money in your bank account. but your assignment will put more people into heaven. An opportunity might be full of hype for a season, but your assignment will bring your life purpose for a lifetime. I came to tell somebody at Citizen Church, every single location, that today is not the day to give up your God-given assignment for a man-made opportunity. Because when we get to heaven, we're not going to hear, well done, my good and rich servant. Well done, my good and you got a lot of TikTok followers, servant. Well done, my good and a lot of people knew about your success, servant. No, we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So today is the day that we decide faithfulness is our goal, like Noah's. Noah built the boat for 120 years. That requires constantly reminding your soul that it doesn't matter who sees me. It doesn't matter who celebrates me. It doesn't matter what all the noise looks like. What matters is the audience of one. I'm going to build this boat. It reminds me of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. What I love about that scripture is it promises a harvest, and it asks us one thing, don't give up. And it promises that God is the one who actually will do the heavy lifting, that he's actually the one who will bring the harvest. When I was 4 years old, my parents signed me up for my first organized sporting activity. They signed me up for T-ball. And my T-ball coach could not see the athletic promise in me that I could see. And so he put me in right field. And I don't know if you've ever been to a T-ball game for four-year-olds, but no one hits the ball to right field. So after the first game of the season, I was complaining to my mom in the car about how I wanted to play soccer instead because baseball was boring. I still kind of feel that way. And my mom was giving me the talk, we're herons, we don't quit. You know, she's giving me that talk and all this. Well, everything changed the second game of the season because the second game of the season, they started providing free snow cones for all the players. I was immediately back in on baseball. It's like, this is incredible. What a sport. We get to the last game of the season. There's only five games in the season. So fifth game of the season, not a single ball had been hit to right field. And it's like the third or fourth inning, and this little guy gets up to bat, and he really rips one. And by rips one, it like rolled underneath the first baseman's legs into the outfield. And everyone is going nuts. And everyone looks into right field, and there was no right fielder. Because the right fielder in the middle of the third inning had walked around the outfield fence and was standing in the snow cone line in the third inning. True story. And so not long ago, my mom was showing my wife the scrapbook that she kept from when I was a little kid. And she was showing the photos and she's telling my wife that story for the first time. And we're all laughing. And I'm sitting in the corner laughing. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just convicted the mess out of me and said, Noah, how often are you still that same four-year-old boy? I put you in a place. I give you a position. You believed it was me when it was time to go. But then all of a sudden, the reality doesn't match your expectation, and you bounce on the very thing you've been praying for right before it shows up. What if the word of the Lord for you today is not to leave, it's not to quit, it's not to start over? What if the word of the Lord for you is you don't need a position change, you just need a perspective change? God, if you're not done, I'm gonna keep on building this boat. God, if you haven't actually told me to leave, I'm gonna trust you with this season. God, I'm gonna do the boring things faithfully because the boring things faithfully lead to fruit in the kingdom of God. Yes. What if we said, we just doubled down, I'm going to do the last thing you told me to do. I'm gonna keep building the boat. I'm gonna keep building the boat. I don't know about you, but one of the big temptations for me to stop building what God's called me to build is when I start looking around at all the amazing boats that God's building through other people, sometimes I start to compare the size of my boat. I start to go, man, that church is doing things better than us, or that church is ahead of the curve, or that pastor is, you know, I'm just giving you my example, but whatever the example is for you, it's probably the same thing that the devil tries to get you to stop through. And what we've got to come to grips with is that success in the kingdom of God is not me compared to you. It's me compared to what has God asked me to do. He asked me to do it. Have I done it? He said it. Have I said yes? And am I doing it faithfully? My wife, she says that I'm a little dramatic, and I have a note in my phone. I update it regularly. And at the top of the note, it says, best Bible Netflix shows. And as I read scripture throughout the year, I like to rank which stories in the Bible I think would be the best Netflix show. And for the last 6 years in a row, the best Netflix show on my phone would be the story of Noah. I want you to humor me for a second. If Netflix ever wants me to pitch them, this is how I'm going to pitch them, okay? Imagine the pilot episode, season one, episode one of Noah's Netflix show, all right? Noah's wife walks in. Noah's sitting at the dinner table, maybe. He goes, hey, babe, quit my job today. Oh, why'd you do that? I'm going to build a boat. God told me to do it. It's going to rain. Okay, Noah. Is it going to be a fishing boat? Is that how we're going to pay the bills? We're going to catch fish. We're going to sell them. Is that how we're going to pay the electric bill? Nope, not a fishing boat. Think more Carnival cruise ship. That's what we're going for. Okay, all the married people, let's just imagine that went great. Easy combo. No problem. What about season one, episode 9? How'd that dinner combo go? You know, maybe Noah's wife walks in. Hey, Noah, you know those dinner parties we used to get invited to with the neighbors? With the tea and the crumpets? Now it's a British Netflix show. We just made it British. You know those dinner parties? We don't get invited anymore because everybody thinks we're crazy. Because we spent the last decade building a boat with no sign of rain. And Noah's. What about year 20? Year 30? Year 40? Could you do what God asked you to do? 40 years, no fruit? Would you still do it? A part of Noah's story that just screams at me. I've read it hundreds of times. I've never seen in the story where one person celebrated his faithfulness. There was nobody tagging him in social media posts. There was nobody writing articles about him. There was no platform that he was making money from. Which means if we need people to celebrate our faithfulness, to end faithful, we probably won't end faithful. I'm thankful for the people in my life who celebrate my faithfulness, but if they weren't there, would I still be faithful? Noah, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70, you're 80. Can you imagine if Noah had stopped building the boat year 90? Just imagine the people in the town. Noah, you crazy old man. You've been building this boat for 100 years. For what? Some of you know what that's like. Been building the boat. Been building the boat. People are like, why are you doing that? Why are you sacrificing in that way? Why are you giving in that way? Why are you spending your time in that way? And you've started to question. Maybe they're right. Think about Noah. He just, I'm going to keep building the boat. Maybe you're new to church. And if you are, please come back next Sunday. Please come back next Sunday and hear from Pastor Dustin. Maybe you're new and you're like, is this guy about to sell me a boat? Is he a boat salesman? What we're talking about when we talk about boats is what has God called us to do? What has he called us to build? What has he called us to be a solution to? And this is the thing I know about the boats that God calls us to is, number one, the boats are bigger than you think because God doesn't build mediocre boats. In fact, I would argue that the boat has to be bigger than you think in order for God to get the most glory out of it. I want to live a life where God builds stuff through my life that I can't get the credit for. That the only way to describe it is to say that has to be the Lord. And the other thing is that every single person in this room has a boat. Every single person. There's something that God has called you to. It's an assignment. It's something that when you obey the Lord, it's going to actually lead to other people becoming more like Jesus, giving their life to Jesus, growing in the image of Jesus Christ. A couple examples of boats. Maybe you're here and maybe the boat is your marriage. Maybe it was easy to build the boat of your marriage 7 years in, 5 years in. Maybe somewhere around your 15, your 20, you just put the hammer to the side. Date nights disappeared. You used to pray for each other, but now you don't. There used to be intentional time with just you two, but now it's just only the kids. And maybe God sent a 31-year-old pastor from Nashville who's not going to write a marriage book to just say, hey, it's time to go on date nights again. It's time to pray over your spouse every day again. It's time to pick the hammer back up and build that boat. Maybe you're here and the boat God's calling you to build is your singleness. You come in and listen, you worship, but every time you worship, you only use the left hand because you want everyone to know that there is space on this finger right here. You're like, I love Jesus, but I could love you. And you think more about a relationship status than you do the Lord. And the boat God might be calling you to build is your singleness. To say, God, look, I got this extra time. I got this talent. I got this treasure. I'm going to just put it all at your feet. What could you build in my life while I'm single? I'm going to build a boat. Maybe the boat God's calling you to build is Citizen Church. I didn't tell Pastor Dustin I was going to say this. I'm just going to look this way. But maybe you've been coming. You love it. Maybe it's time to go from coming and enjoying it to coming and building it. Hey, I'm gonna serve. Where could you use me? How could I use my time or my talent or my treasure to build God's house? Maybe you're here, you've been coming, you enjoy it, you love it, you've never given. Maybe it's just the simple takeaway from this message is I'm gonna start building God's house with my money. I'm gonna start sowing financially. I'm gonna start tithing. I'm gonna start worshiping the Lord through giving. What is the boat that God has asked you to build? It's bigger than you think. It's going to impact more people than you think. Build the boat. I want to close by just telling you a quick story about a boat that means a lot to my family's life. I have a little sister. Her name is Carson. She's 6 years younger than me. And Carson, when she was 13 years old, she went to the country of Nicaragua on her first mission trip. And she was there for 2 weeks. And while she was there, she felt so clearly that the Lord told her that she was going to be a full-time missionary to the country of Nicaragua. That was the boat, if you will, that God called her to build. And so the next year, she dedicated her life to learning Spanish. And a year later, she led at 14 years old her first missions trip. 60 adults, she led the trip at 14. She taught 25% of the teachings, and she translated the other teachings for the English pastors, 14 years old. The next 3 years of her life, she would lead 2 trips a year. And at 17 years old, she felt like the Lord said, you're going to go to this college called Emmanuel College. It's in Georgia. They have this amazing missions program. And she felt like that's what the Lord spoke to her. This is the next step in my journey. And so she comes home and she tells my parents, hey, before I become a missionary, I'm going to go to college at Emmanuel College. And my parents are like, amazing. We love that. We think that's a great idea. Let's look up Emmanuel College. And so they look it up. And they find out that it costs $40,000 a year to go to Emmanuel College. And my parents were like, are you sure you heard from God? Because my parents are pastors, and man, God has really blessed our family. But there have been some seasons in our life when we were so poor that we would walk by the pond and ducks would throw bread at us. And so my parents were like, okay, Carson, here's the deal. If God wants you at this school, God will provide for you to go to this school. And so we're just going to start praying with you. And if he doesn't provide, we'll just take that as a sign that this is not maybe the Lord's will. She gets to the end of her senior year, and not a single dollar in scholarship money had come in. And so she's devastated. And one night they're at the dinner table, and my parents, they say, Carson, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to come up with another plan. My little sister, she pushes her spaghetti to the center of the table. And she says, my whole life, you've told me that faith doesn't need a plan B. And now you're telling me something different. She said, can I please be excused from the dinner table? My parents were like, did we ground her? They tell the story that my parents, they live in a two-story house, and they tell the story that my little sister walked up the stairs into her room, closed the door, and they just heard her weeping. She cried for like 10 minutes. And then they said she stopped crying, and they started hearing her sing that song, Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the dark, my God, that is who you are. And she just starts singing it at the top of her lungs. The next day was college visitation day for Emmanuel College. It's the day you go, you meet your professors, you sign up for classes, you tour the dorms, you do all the things. My parents were like, do we take her? We don't know. Is this a dumb idea? Last minute, they decide to go. They spend all day signing up for classes, meeting professors, walking around, taking photos, doing all the things, and they're about to leave. And a girl comes up to my sister and says, hey, is your name Carson Heron? And she says, yeah, that's me. And this girl says, hey, I need you to follow me. Someone's been looking for you. So my sister and my dad go back through the campus. They find themselves in the president of Emmanuel College's office. They sit down. The president of Emmanuel College says, hey, Carson, this is going to sound crazy, but last night at dinner time, we got a call from one of the biggest donors at Emmanuel College. He said he was on a date with his wife, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them at dinner that they were supposed to give a full ride's tuition to an incoming freshman who wants to be a Spanish-speaking missionary. He said, I looked through this whole list. There's 450 incoming freshmen this year. You are the only person that specified that. He said, would you like to come to Emmanuel College for free? My little sister looked at my dad and said, I told you. Why? Because when you pick up the hammer and you build what God's asked you to build, it's not you who does the heavy lifting, it's the Lord who does the heavy lifting. If you feel outnumbered today, Exodus 14:14 says you don't have to fight the battle, you just have to be still. Romans 8:31, if God is for me, who could be against me? If you're here and you feel like your past disqualifies you, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become right with God. One of my favorite quotes I've ever read, Albert Einstein, smart guy. He said this. He said, it's not that I'm the smartest. I just tend to stick with problems a little longer than the person beside me. Can I tell you that should be our goal as a follower of Jesus? Why? Because we serve a God who stuck with a problem longer than anybody else was willing to stick with. Jesus Christ got up on a cross while we were sinners and died a sinner's death so that we could have life. We're just doing what Jesus did for us. We're sticking with the problem. We're going to be faithful. We're going to do our best. When we fall, we're not going to stay down. We're going to pick back up the hammer. We're going to keep building the boat, because when we get to the end of our life, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we want those closest to us to say they did everything that God asked them to do. Will you close your eyes? Actually, will you stand? Will you stand? I like standing. I'm sorry. If you're here today and you would say, hey, I want to build the boat God's asked me to build. Maybe it's a rededication to build it. Maybe it's saying yes for the first time. If that's you, we just raise your hand. It's amazing. It's amazing. I just want to pray with you. God, I thank you for every single person who's saying yes to what you've called them to build, saying yes to that marriage, saying yes to that relationship, saying yes to that business, saying yes to serving, saying yes to giving, saying yes to building your house here at Citizen Church. God, I thank you. I pray that when they feel discouraged, that your Holy Spirit would lift them up. God, that they would just keep their eyes on you, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. God, I pray that they would not just be starters, but they would be finishers. I pray for a boldness, a courageousness that, God, other people would see and they would go, what is going on in their life? And we would give you every ounce of glory. God, I thank you for the salvations that are on the other side of their yes. I thank you for the relationships that are going to be restored on the other side of their yes. I thank you for the solutions right here in Albuquerque and in Maui, God, and all over the state. God, I just thank you for the solutions that are going to come from their yes. Before we go into worship one more time, if there's anybody here who does not have a relationship with Jesus, but you would like one, that's the first step in building the boat, is letting Jesus pay for your sins. And so if there's anyone here, if you would like for your sins to be paid for, you'd like to become a son or a daughter of God, will you just slip up your hand? It's awesome. It's amazing. I'm going to lead you through a prayer really quick. I'm going to ask everybody at Citizen Church to repeat this after me. Before we say it, it's not repeating a prayer that gives you a relationship with Jesus. It's believing this prayer that gives you a relationship with Jesus. And so if you put your belief into these words, you're going to walk out of here forgiven, and you're going to be a son or a daughter of God. Can we say this? Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, the ones I remember and the ones that I don't. Thank you for your grace and your mercy in the cross. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Be Lord of it all. In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, can we praise God for every person who just made that decision?